AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu. At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Travis Decker, he is the man, as of this recording, that is on the loose. There's a manhunt going on for this man out in the state of Washington. Could possibly be headed to Canada. That's what they believe. According to his Google searches, he was trying to figure out a way to get into Canada prior to his alleged murdering of his three little girls in a custody dispute with his wife. This is another heartbreaking story of familicide, where basically the family gets taken out. I can't have them. You can't have them. Nobody can have them. A real messed up way of thinking. And there were the warning signs. There was a lot of warning signs. The judge still thought, even though you're homeless and living in the back of your truck and you've taken these girls to a place to sleep amongst 20 other homeless men, you still can get weekends. That seems about right. Joining me to discuss, Robin Drake, retired FBI Special Agent, Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. I'm just going to open it up to you on your opening thoughts on this case. It's the first time we're really diving into it. When you first hear about this, what goes through your mind?
First thing is the tragedy of the girls, and I immediately shifted to seeing his behavior pattern of really loving his girls. And then you hear the military background, and you see the PTSD and bipolar disorder, and then so you're automatically thinking murder suicide in situations like this, but with an escape plan. Tony, this is such a complicated situation, complicated man to me, that I've had a hard time wrapping around just because he's complicated. And it's hard to understand, first, the familicide, obviously, but even more so, his behavior after it, which doesn't fit a pattern of what we typically see. So I think there's things we don't know. Is the best thing I can really think of right now.
What do we typically see in things like this, where the person that has, he has PTSD, he's also been diagnosed with borderline personality disorder, which we all know is the root to so many wonderful things in the people that we cover. It's a very dark way of thinking. It's a very messed up way of thinking, where your prism is not seeing reality on reality's terms. What would you say we would normally expect in a situation like this?
So with PTSD and the other disorder he has, those things come together. They can really exasperate each other. And we've seen this before in other individuals, but typically they're very, very self-induced violence, you know, towards themselves, not towards others. So even if you have familicide, you know, if you can't have them, no one can have them, which also means I don't want to live either. And that's why, you know, at first when I saw this, I started reshifting. Maybe he was, you know, because sometimes people are doing it to get back at the ex-wife. But that then doesn't quite fit the PTSD aspect of this, although it fits the custody issue of it. But then I said, well, let's reverse it. Maybe because people typically in this situation are all about self-harm. That's why the fact that he had an escape plan or a thought of going to Canada and evading people really is unusual. And so maybe I was thinking, like, maybe he did this to deny himself his daughters, you know, because that's another way to look at this. Was he wasn't doing this to lash out because he obviously doesn't dislike his daughter. He loves his daughters, as his behavior arc has shown. And then when we kind of rule out, maybe he did it against his wife, but maybe he did it against himself as well. But then why would he want to survive? So that's why it's a really confusing one to me. And so some of the other psychs I've been watching and listening to on this are really saying that there's probably details and data about his mental health issues that are undiagnosed, unknown, or we just don't understand the complexity of all the other factors that are coming together on this one, because it is really unusual.
Well, we are certainly dealing with cluster B personality disorder type here. Obviously, he was diagnosed with borderline, and that, you know, shares a lot of other areas too, where you might have a psychopath here. You might have a sociopath here as well. Just may not have been diagnosed as that. And that may lead to explaining more of those behaviors, not just the, I killed my kids and I still want to be alive. Because you're right. In his mind, from what we understand of him right now, he as twisted as this sounds, he killed his kids. In his mind, though, and this is where it gets messed up, in his mind, I think he viewed that as an act of love. I think he viewed it as an act of, well, for whatever reason, he didn't think it would be okay for those kids to be living with mom. He viewed himself as he is the right one to be with these kids. And it shows through his continued actions, even though he's in horrible, horrible situations, that he still really wants to see these kids and be with them. And I'm thinking in his twisted brain, it does kind of come down to, well, if I can't be around you all the time, you're safer dead than alive. That makes no logical sense. But when you try to put yourself in this guy's shoes and the prism that he's living in, a lot of victim mentality going on here. A lot of very selfish behavior going on here. And when you run it through the prism, when you got borderline, you got PTSD, you got a lot of things firing in weird places with all these other underlying disorders. I think you can get to this type of a mindset. It's not normal. It's not going to be very predictable. But I think that that's probably what is going on here. I think his version of love is not other people's version of love, but his version of love was this. And that's a scary thing, because that allows someone then to give themselves the permission to do that because they believe they're doing the right thing through their own prism. That's how I would take it.
That's a really interesting leap. I, you know, shame on me for not seeing that optic, because I was thinking, all right, so we're focusing on the ex-wife, we're focusing on him, and the girls were just a tool in his world of one versus the other. But actually, from the optic, like you just presented, of he did it as an act of love for them. Hey, when all other things are implausible and aren't explained, that one actually fits more than anything else I can think of. It's really, really interesting, because you said the word psychopath in there, and psychopathy has a lack of empathy, predator, and he just doesn't, you know, people that have high levels of psychopathy don't love their daughters as has been described again in social media and what we've seen, like he has. Being able to do harm against your daughters doesn't mean you're a psychopath. It means you have a lot of other crap going on sideways in your life with a broken brain, as he has clearly demonstrated. But I actually see that as an interesting thing, because otherwise, why would he want? I still don't get the why he wants to continue to live. Yeah, but the daughter angle for saving them, you put the Tony and Robin hat on together, and that's an interesting take on it. It really is. I hadn't heard that before.
It's a very different situation, but I think the only one recently that I can think of is like Lori Vallow. She believed killing those kids was the right thing to do through her prism. She was getting rid of the devils. And they're going to be in a better place.
Nutter though.
Completely. But she did function for a good portion of her life without getting in criminally trouble for anything because she wasn't doing anything. This man led most of his life, you know, serving his country, you know, being a dad. Then things went really downhill. Something changed. Some way of his thinking made him not compatible with the rest of society, but he still functioned there, or he still existed there, I should say, although his prison was completely off from everyone else. That's why I'm wondering what was going through his mind. What was telling him that killing these kids is the right thing to do? Was it just a big F you to the ex-wife? I mean, that could be the simple explanation. And on the surface, that's what everyone would go to. But there's usually a little more motivation to it, especially the fact that he's still alive and he's still going. I mean, maybe that is it. I don't know. We don't know the answer. I don't know that we ever will, because if he does get caught alive, who knows what his story is going to be at that point? Because these are probably thoughts and emotions that are coming and going. Had it been a different day, maybe he would not have killed the kids. Maybe he would have tried to run to Canada with them. But for whatever reason, at that moment in time, something triggered him enough to think this is the best option to go with. I don't know.
Yeah, the Lori Vallow analogy, it's an interesting one. I'm glad you thought of it that gave you the leap on this case, because I think it's an interesting angle. Although, remember, Lori Vallow did that all for her own benefit because of life insurance policies and to rid herself of kids so she could live her life of fantasy life in Hawaii.
Yes, you know, but she believed it though. That's the thing. Was that the ultimate reason that she did it?
But yes, she's also a cultist though too.
Yeah, you know? I agree. But I feel like The ends justified the means in her mind. They don't make any sense.
I just see his connection to his kids, even though he killed them, as deeper than Vallow's is with hers.
Yeah.
I know it's like apples and different kind of apples rather than apples and oranges.
He's a Fuji. She's a Granny Smith.
Yeah. Yeah. I just have, you know, just because of his military background, just because of PTSD, you know, and the life he's leading before it went sideways, with healthy relationships with people in his life, you know, I want to have more compassion and understanding for him than I do for Vallow, because she doubles down on Nutto.
Yeah.
And she's just despicable to me. And so, but at the same time, again, really interesting take. It was like you said, if he did it for the kids to save them, why not bring them with him?
Yeah.
Because again, I think there's so much mental health issues that I'm not licensed or have experience with on this one, that it gets way far out of a field of understanding, because every time we think we have a theory on it, it just doesn't completely hold. Mm-hmm. That's why I think there's a lot of factors in here. Because even to get his wife, why would he do it to the daughters he loves so much? See what I mean? I mean, there's other ways to do that. And because we've seen cases like this before with custody issues. Instead of going after the kids, you just go after her. Mm-hmm. He's got the experience. Just knock her off. Just hire a hitman. We've seen this in so many other cases where there's a custody issue and then the spouse that's got the kids gets knocked off, or is it an attempt to knock him off? You know, so, but again, those are as broken brains as those are. This one is more broken. There's a lot of brokenness in here and I don't quite understand.
Well, if it is the ex-wife he wants to hurt, what's the worst way he can hurt her? It's not killing her. It's this.
True. But at the same time, we've seen, again, we just look for those patterns.
Yeah.
You know, and we've seen it the other cases, even though other cases, they could have gone after the kids as well because the ex-wife wanted them, but they went after the spouse instead. And instead, he went after the kids, which is unusual. Because again, the relationship he seemed to have with them seemed strong.
Yeah.
He didn't seem to treat them like objects, you know. And so in order to do what he did, he really had to objectify them, you know, to bind them with zip ties, you know, and asphyxiate. That is a horrible way to kill someone.
Yeah.
It's very personal. It's very close, you know, which means it's very traumatic. Very, very dark, horrible things going through that brain that can do that.
Something happened there. Something happened there that broke him beyond where he had been. He was not the same person by any means. Let's talk about Travis Decker. He's out there in the woods, at least as far as we know right now, as of this recording. They're still looking for him. We don't know if he's dead or if he's alive. There's been reports of possible sightings, but I mean, if you look at the guy, and this is just one picture of him, if you look at other pictures of him online, he looks tremendously different. He kind of changes his looks up quite a bit, but he is kind of a generic looking dude. You know, if you see him out at the mall, if you have a mall still, or wherever, he kind of blends in. He's just a normal looking guy. Where there's not a lot of pieces about him that I think would stand out and make one go, oh, there he is. I think he can blend into a crowd pretty good unless people are paying attention and looking for this man specifically. So it's hard to know where he has been seen, if he has been seen. But let's talk about his training. And you can speak to this with your military background. Staff sergeant rank, expert infantry badge represents years of tactical training combined with his mental illness creates a uniquely dangerous profile. With all of the training that he has and the ability to be out there in nature, he's been out there before and survived. What sort of skills does this man have that most people would not, who killed their family and then went to the woods?
You know, it's interesting, Tony. This is an area I've looked at a lot just because of my own backpacking in the woods, my own Marine Corps time as well. And people sometimes will make this leap. And I think the news is doing this right now. The mainstream media is saying that because he has this military background, he has military and survival skills. No, it's really kind of apples and oranges. When you're deployed in the infantry and have the skill set he has and the training he has, you generally are supplied, you know, when you go out in the field and you have resources that are available to you, even though you're out in the field and you're doing these, you know, high speed operations. But the one thing that sets him apart because of his background, being a staff sergeant, infantry, and this experience, is he has experience and reps in suffering, patience, and being uncomfortable. That is what the edge is that he has and what the military has, is that you can really suck in situations and just keep on going. So that's what the training really is. And that's why he didn't rely on his military training. He actually went and actually lived off grid for a while. He did these backcountry things because he didn't have reps in that. Because I am a survival show junkie, reality survival shows. And regardless of them, with people military backgrounds, it is a skill set that's not the same as a survivalist. And we've seen this with other people too, on other cases where they said, oh, he's got military background, he must be able to survive well in the woods. Not necessarily, because survivalists' survival skills in backcountry is a very, very different thing than actually military background. Military skilled in suffering, patience, and being uncomfortable for long periods of time, which he's going through. So if he's still alive. So that's why I think he added on top of those skills before he did this. That's why which is also interesting. You know, this was not impulsive. This was a plan.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.